your digital book club.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed.
Hi to everyone.
Hi.
We had this weird phenomenon where we were dealing with life, you know, yeah. As we do. And
we
boom,
just
had a lot of listeners pop up from nowhere. So hi.
Hi.
Welcome if you're new.
Yeah.
But
thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks for finding our little weird corner of the internet.
Yeah,
and
we're still not over it.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It was very strange just because, you know, Ginny and I take up a lot of projects in our free time,
mm-hmm.
in addition to having the real job. So we were focusing on some other stuff.
We never intended to let this slip. It's just one of those things where, you know, all of a sudden it's been a couple months and we have not put out a podcast.
Yeah. But so this is Young Adultish, in case you've forgotten, your digital book club. I'm not Ginny.
And I'm not Allie.
But that is Ginny.
And that's Allie.
And yeah, we're here to talk about books and life and the millennial struggle, as it were.
Yeah, the young adultish struggle that we have been living.
We've been living for the past, 4 months? January was when we talked about Chain of Gold?
Oh, how? What?
Yeah.
You're right. We're in May, so that is...
The 4 months.
Oh, that's more... I thought it was like 2 months. No,
it's been a while.
Ah, okay. Wow.
But, I'm excited to be back. Just life, you know? First was the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Holidays are always busy. You know, regardless of COVID or not, like, you still visit your family, you still... But then I feel like, honestly, with COVID, you had to do it more because you had to visit everyone.
Exactly.
Separately.
You actually had to go places. You couldn't just be like, COVID, darn, can't go anywhere.
Yeah. And it was on that cusp of, like, people were like, oh, well, maybe we can
kind of see family if we're being safe and wearing masks.
And everyone was feeling that fatigue of COVID, so everyone was
quarantine for over a year.
Yeah, so everyone's like, well, we want to see our family now. It's like, well... I mean, yeah, but let's do this safely, which means we have to have 5 different gatherings.
Yes.
Would you like to come to all of them?
Yeah.
And
as of recording this, it's May 20...
May...
Some odd?
20th.
May 20th! And the CDC just recently announced that people who are fully vaccinated can go without masks, so that's kind of... A big
it's
thing.
It's exciting, but everyone's suspicious.
Everyone's sus.
Like, we're all just like, do we wear it? Do we not? Do we wear it? Do we
we're
not?
Also triggered by the old administration
and
the weird shit we would be told.
Yeah. And I mean, so. I just went into, I got a new little side like gig thing.
Side
which
hustle.
I'm really excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. But I went in wearing a mask just because I go places wearing a mask now. And then no one else is wearing it. And I was like, wait a second. Am I
is it social product protocol
it?
To take it off? Yeah. Like, what's the...
Like, so then they're, like, staring at me, and I'm, like, staring at them, and I'm like... And then, like, we ate, and I was like, okay, well, it looks like... Obviously, you know, you don't wear a mask when you eat, so I was like, okay, well, I'll take it off,
I mean,
and everyone seems comfortable. I kind of threw it out there. I was like, I mean, I'm okay with it if everyone else is fine. Everyone else looks fine, and, the other people were like, yeah, we don't care. I'm back, or whatever,
okay.
And I'm just like, all right, I mean, I am. I do it for other people, you know?
Exactly. Like,
more so just, it's just kind of like a social protocol thing.
It is.
Too. It's like showing a little bit of courtesy by.
Exactly.
At least starting out with it. If, you know, if you decide you're comfortable with it and you take it off.
And I have an interview for a new job coming up. And
I'm,
of the many things I'm stressed about with this new journey of life, do wear mask, do not wear mask, what do?
for sure. Yeah, I have a couple interviews, but none of them are in person yet. So.
Yeah.
That's definitely been a thing that's been taking up our time is just trying to do the job thing. And
And a lot of personal things have happened as well.
Lost a dog, got a dog.
Pixie, my Pomeranian, went into heart failure shortly after our last podcast. And so that was a lot of mental strain. And after that first emergency vet visit, she
just didn't get better. Like,
exactly.
There were more emergency vet visits. And
then she just didn't get better.
Yeah.
And so we had to let her go. And then Cordelia, our lovely Cordelia with the Russells and an episode, whatever that was, many, 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 many moons ago. was depressed. And so we found ourselves with a new dog about a month and a half later. Mr. Milo. He is an Australian Shepherd. And he's a disaster, taking up a lot of my time and inadvertently Ginny's time.
Yep.
And, yeah, and then I got new job hours where I'm working more, which is double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is good, but no time for fun. Yeah.
And then I got a, like I said, I have a side hustle now, which hopefully is not going to be like, you know, it's not a lot of time. It's less than a, like, it's kind of like on the low end of a part-time job. But
right.
It's still time.
But exactly.
I'm not here. So.
So we fell into the trap, y'all. We created this podcast to make time for people to read, and yet here we are.
Yeah, and then we were slacking on our reading, and yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
I ended up having, so I also do this thing where I go to the library, right? I check out a stack of books, and then I don't read
any of them.
Maybe one, if I'm really lucky, two. But
when was the last time you read two of your library books without checking them out a million times?
Right.
Let's be real.
No, I'm not sure. Anyways, and then I ended up holding on to them for a really long time, unfortunately, until the point. And one of them was Chain of Gold. Like, I checked it out.
Yeah.
And I was reading that one from the library copy while we were doing the podcast over that. I've since bought it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, during that time, I held on to it. And some other books, I just held on to them. And then, like, to the point where the library contacted me, was like, they were missing books. And I was I guess I should return these at some point. And I mean, I've worked in a library for several years. I've worked in a couple
libraries. Which is kind of the irony.
Yeah. So I understand, I understand how this thing works and the fact that I'm like, well, if I return them, then I'm not going to be, charge the cost of the book, because libraries are awesome.
Yes.
And libraries forgive you a lot.
Libraries just don't have time for your shit.
No, they're
just give them their damn book back.
If you give the book back, you know, you're really not going to have to do that much. On the other end, you know, when I was working in a public library, I would see people with so many missing books. Like, you know, if you're, you check out, like, and with kids' books especially, it's common to check out, like, a massive stack. But those are still expensive. Like, those are still awesome. So I would see people with, like, over like $200-$300 fines or something, and I was just like,
Jesus,
how? All that to be said,
and the libraries don't get that money back.
No,
if you don't pay it, and like that's how you end up with shitty libraries, like our local library, which has like no selection.
Right. Like there's not much you can do. Like you can charge the people, but you can't force them to give you money. So
it's not like in high school where you don't graduate if you don't pay your $2 for the library or whatever.
Oh man, one of my school libraries, like, for the longest time said that I had this book that I never checked out once, and it was becoming a problem. And I was like, I've promised, like, I have never heard of this book. Like, it was Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
As a high schooler, you were reading the Judy Blume, period book.
It was high school or middle school or something, but they were like, this book is on your record. I'm like, I don't even know what this book is. I've never read it. I've never heard of it. I promise I don't have it.
I watch the Jesus Veggies, but that doesn't mean I read the Margaret book.
Anyways. Obviously, that got cleared up. But all this to say, I love libraries. I'm still on, like, library Facebook pages, and they're the best thing ever.
And we love books,
and we're back
to talk about more books.
Talk about books.
We left y'all off a long time ago saying that we were going to read Cinder, and guess what? I finally did it, y'all. I did it. I got my shit together, and I read Cinder.
Yay, you read 185 pages.
Was it? No, I think it was like 141. I think it was less.
Great. Yeah.
Well, we have different copies.
We do have different. Mine is 186.
Okay, I think mine's like 141.
Okay.
Because I'm a e-reader, y'all.
Right. We like both.
I like to have the books now.
Both of my e-readers, or like tablet things, I've been given by my mother. She just gave them to me because she's gotten upgraded ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on like the first gen Nook, which is many, many years old at this point, actually. And same thing with the iPad. And so like neither of them really hold a charge that well. that's kind of where I'm at.
I'll tell you what, I had the Nook Simple Touch when that one first came out.
Okay.
Which literally all it does is books. It's not like a fancy tablet. It's not anything. It just does books.
Uh-huh.
I had that thing for fucking years. Because Barnes & Noble has a good warranty system.
Okay.
Where, like, if it broke within X amount of times, then you just take it back, no questions asked, they just hand you a new one.
That's nice.
And then you could, like, renew the warranty. So I would. So I went through, like, three separate editions of this one before. And it was, God, when did I get that thing? I can't remember if I got it, like, first year of high school or sometime during middle school. But it was a while ago. And I didn't get a new one until last year or the year before.
Okay, yeah.
And when I finally upgraded to the Nook Simple Touch with glow light. Because,
yeah.
Because, and I think it was still within warranty. And I could have, like, gone out and gotten it new, the same one. But I was like, at this point, I've gotten my money's worth many, many, many times over. Like, I'm just going to go buy the new Nook. Treat yourself.
I mean, I did, like... I use those tablets I've been given, like, when I go on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where I'm at. Like, they're, you know, they serve as a purpose, and I'm always here for just using the same technology until it completely dies.
Yes.
It's kind of...
We'll have to have a book bans on e-readers and
books
at some point if we want to.
We could do that at some point, yeah. We were going to talk about Cinder, I guess?
Yeah. So this is a reread for you, right?
It is a reread for me. If you've listened to our top five list, which actually... several people have now.
I know, right?
Thank you for that. Again.
Where did you all come from? Are you okay? Do you need help? Like, comment twice if you need help. Just, like, two blinking emojis, and we'll reach out. We're cool like that. We got you. But you gotta let us know, okay? How did you get here?
How did any of us get here? Things we ask ourselves all the time. And now Ellie's going cross-eyed. Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not mean to make us spiral into existentialism here. Other things we always think about, too. But...
Cinder.
It is a reread, and it was on my top five list. It's been several years since I've read it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when I first read it. I think it was sometime in early college, perhaps.
So specific.
So this book came out in 2011.
Okay.
I remember seeing it a lot, just... on the shelves and stuff like that.
Yeah. We would have been in high school
when
it came out. Yeah.
So I definitely remember seeing it several years before I picked it up, which, yeah, like early college aligns with that.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Because I churned through the first three.
Mm-hmm. All at once. Okay.
Kind of all at once. And then, as I do, for some dumb reason. Like,
you just never finished it.
Life happened, and then I dropped the last book, and I'm just like, I didn't finish that series. So to this day, I have not
finished
it.
It's trauma
from
Mockingjay.
Maybe.
One series was finished badly, and here we are. Now we can never finish another series again.
I do have a problem with finishing a series, and I don't know what it is. I think it's just the life thing happens, but I haven't finished Heroes of Olympus. I haven't finished Divergent. I haven't finished... the Lunar Chronicles, obviously. I'm sure there's more.
Wait, the last Percy Jackson book?
Yeah, like the last one. So, you know, Percy Jackson has the five books, and then Heroes of Olympus is
Okay, yeah. The second series. I was like, you never read the...
Oh, no, I absolutely read the last Olympian. But I did not actually read the last.
The last list. What is that one called?
Which,
anyway?
I mean... And then there's more, like, Trials of Apollo stuff, so there's still more in that universe, so that's technically not the last, I guess, but...
Rick Riordan be putting out.
Yeah. That's true. I'm so behind on all those series, so, anyways.
We're here to talk about Cinder.
We are here to talk about Cinder. We keep going on tangents. It's been so long, though. We have so much...
There's a lot of backlog, yo.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is a first read for you,
mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. This is a... And we were talking about this the other day because you had asked if this is Marissa Meyer's debut novel. I believe it is.
Okay.
Like I said, this was written in 2011, and this was the first. This is the first.
The first in the Lunar Chronicles,
in
obviously.
Lunar Chronicles, and there's technically four, but there's like a 3.5, and there's some little other story, you know, type of things too. So like the main books, there's four.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a couple other series now, and some other books since then. But yeah, this I believe is the first.
All right, so why don't you roll right into telling me about it? Like, yeah. I haven't read the first half already.
That's true. So as we go on, remember this is not a spoiler-free podcast. Yes. So we are going to talk about Cinder.
All of the things.
This book is actually divided into what they're called books, but, you know, they're kind of parts, basically. So we read the first two parts. It's like book one and book two. So if you have not read up to there, take a pause.
Grab some snacks. Grab Cinder. Read through it. It's a really quick read.
It is.
I read through it at work.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
Just sitting there in 2 days.
It doesn't take long. Or if you like spoilers, or if you've read it and want to hang around, then...
then by all means.
Keep on.
Live your life. We ain't here to judge.
All right. So let's see what happened in this book. A lot happens. We're going to have to break down some... the little details, but first of all, the thing to know is that
I just took a look at Ginny's notes tab, and it is much longer than I probably would have made my summary, but we all know that I'm bad at summaries. So
well, and the other thing is when you write it, it really does not take as long to read it.
Okay.
As when it's typed out. Anyways, so the first thing I think to know is that this is a sci-fi setting.
Cyborgs and spaceships
in the future. So we are in the year 126 TE, whatever that means, in New Beijing. So it is a different setting, different world. And Cinder is our cyborg protagonist. And she's having a normal day in the market square, preparing to replace her foot, as one does.
When you're a cyborg, you only have one human foot.
Yeah. When Prince Kai comes to her stand looking for Cinder to fix his android, as the prince does,
just
showing up in the market.
I like to picture the whole Aladdin thing.
Yeah. I definitely kind of picture
with Princess Jasmine with the whole.
I definitely. Similar vibes here too. And another thing that happens, you know, they have this interaction, but across the way, is when we've got our first instance of the plague happening, which is a big problem.
How timely
it is.
How unfortunately.
timely.
Fucking plague. Because nothing like that could ever happen in the current era!
Right. Yeah, this is a futuristic science fiction. This doesn't happen. Okay.
Plagues aren't real.
But we get our first instance of the plague because the owner at the stand across the way contracts it, and we kind of have this
but
panic.
He was a dick anyway, so we're not supposed to feel bad for him.
Yeah, we have this kind of panic moment, which in my mind happens like the Monsters, Inc. thing where all
we got a 2319
exactly, so everyone they shut their doors and they shut, you know, and everyone just like clears out, and the person who has this plague gets taken away, and then we go home. You know, Cinder makes it out. Cinder and her it's an android.
Okay.
Yeah,
has a robot.
Yes, she has like it's her little sidekick assistant.
But she's a robot.
She is.
And she has a robot.
Yes.
And servitude. But let's not get into the moral quandary of that.
There's a lot of moral quandary, actually, that we're going to have to look at with this book. And I pronounce her name Iko, but I think a lot of people pronounce it Iko. So they go home. You know, they make it home, and her stepsisters are preparing for the ball, which is... for the 126th annual.
This is a retelling of Cinderella, if you haven't figured it out yet.
Yes, I did want to mention that in the beginning too, and I forgot, but this is a Cinderella retelling, so a lot of these classic Cinderella elements are going to be in this. Anyways, they're preparing for the ball. Her stepmom is evil stepmom, and she says she can't go unless the hover
is fixed.
Is fixed, so it's like the hovercraft, like the car, basically. And she's just like, yeah, sure. If you can fix it, you can go with us. We're not inclined to believe her, but anyways. So Cinder, Iko, and the younger stepsister, Peony, go...
because one of the sisters has to be nice because we need to scapegoat them.
Anyways, one of them go, or they all go to the junkyard to find a mag belt to fix the hover. And, you know, they're just going about their day. Cinder's talking about, oh my gosh, the prince came to the stand, and Peony is like a fangirl of Prince Kai, and she's like, oh my gosh, he came, you're gonna have to introduce me, blah blah blah. Yeah, I can't wait to go to the ball.
Get married, I'm gonna have his baby.
Yeah. And they stumble across, you know, stuff in the junkyard, as you do, but then suddenly they're looking over this abandoned car, and then Cinder
a gasoline car.
It is
an antique.
And then Cinder notices that her sister is kind of blue. Scratching at her arm, and there's some blue going on there, which is a sign of the plague. So Peony ends up getting taken away, and Cinder, you know, and Cinder's worried that it's her fault, you know, that she brought it from the market, and her stepmother also is just like, yeah, it's probably your fault, and Von volunteers her for the cyborg draft, which is...
Because cyborgs are not happening. People.
Right. Exactly. So that's another thing. Cyborgs are being drafted as, like, volunteer test subjects to find the cure for the plague.
Because isn't it so good to sacrifice yourself for the good of humanity?
Yes.
Because you're not human.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's what's going on. So Cinder does not want to go, but then she's taken away to be a test subject in the lab. So they do what they do in the lab, and they test her out, but she ends up being immune because the pathogens cure themselves, and, well...
I wonder why.
We are immune to this. So, you know, we come to... The doctor comes to this agreement of, like, you know, because Cinder doesn't want to...
Be there.
No, obviously. She doesn't want to be there, but then
everyone,
the doctor
they
is just
take
like...
Dice.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So the doctor's just like, well, we'll pay you money. And then Cinder's just like...
Me money or my mother money?
Right. Well, if you put it in a separate account, then maybe also my sister, you know, save her first. And the doctor's like, well, we got to save the emperor first because he also has the plague and he's going to die. But then...
Wink, wink.
Yes. But then, yeah, we can do that. And then she's like, all right, fine. So she goes back home, and then her stepmother's like, no, why are you here? And Cinder is kind of devises this escape plan that she's like, I think I can fix up that old gasoline car in the junkyard. We can use it and escape. With, you know, with the money that we're going to get. And so they're going to escape on the night of the ball. Cinder actually also goes to visit quarantine, Peony in quarantine. And that's a whole moment, and Peony is not doing really well. And then she has this moment where she watches the merchant from chapter one
die
in front of her and sees that they're removing, like, ID chips and stuff from
which
the bodies,
is sketch.
Which is definitely sketch. They return, or she returns to the palace the next day, and only to run, you know, only to run into Prince Kai in the elevator. Wow. Imagine that. Just run into the elevator. And then we learn that the emperor has died from the plague, like, the previous day, and that Queen Lavanna of Luna, the moon. Yeah.
Because the moon has people
the
that
moon
aren't people.
The moon has a colony of lunar people.
Of not people.
Yeah. So she is
but
coming
fancy
down.
Fancy not people, not like cyborg not people.
Yeah, like fancy not people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's coming down to supposedly discuss the diplomacy, like the peace and stuff like that that she was discussing with the emperor beforehand. No one trusts
her. She
wants
that prince stick.
Nobody trusts her. And it's very tense. So... You know, Cinder and Kai have this cute exchange where he's like, oh, well, you come to the ball? And she's just like, no, sorry, buddy. And then when they're talking about Lavanna, the doctor in the lab gets all panicked and reveals that Cinder is actually a lunar. So she is...
Le gasp.
From the moon. And that she was probably saved from eradication.
Huh, which just sounds awfully familiar to something else that we've heard about in the backstory.
Right.
We've been given.
So she's probably been saved, and she needs to stay away from Queen Lavanna to, like, not die. Because it's a thing that...
If basically lunars have,
like,
powers,
yeah,
and
if
you're a
born,
shell...
A shell without powers.
It's like a squib in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're ashamed, and therefore Lavanna's gonna be like...
Murder, murder. Exactly. Stabby, stabby time.
She's a little murdery when she's angry.
She's, yeah. Anyways, that's kind of where we left off. She arrives, Queen Lavanna arrives, and everyone's kind of on edge and really tense and everything.
And tries to seduce the prince.
Yep.
Using her magic powers.
Yeah.
And the prince is like, oh, I said,
oh, no. Yeah. That was scary.
This was not going how I wanted.
Like, oh, no.
I was feeling the things.
Yeah. And the spider's just like, yep, it's going to get worse, buddy.
He said something very specific, which I'll bring up later.
Okay. So that's kind of what happens. There's a lot to break down here in general, but plot summary, I think we covered a lot of plot.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
Listen to some stuff of us talking from many years ago, which we might have to re-record because we have much better quality now.
Yeah, sorry Fun. About those listeners if you're sitting with us.
But anyway, see you in a bit. So let's talk about some characters.
Characters.
We actually don't have, like, a super huge...
It's not a huge cast.
Which is nice after reading a Cassandra Clare. Yeah. After reading a Cassie Clare novel so where everyone many. Is like, oh my god.
So many. Yeah. We have Cinder, obviously, our main character. Our Woo. Cinderella adjacent character in this story. She is a cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
She is 16, actually. Yeah. She's actually pretty young. And at 16, she is the best mechanic, but she has a lot of mechanical parts. She is more cyborg, she has more cyborg percentage in her than a lot of other people, which we have like heard
37%.
Yeah. Exactly. So she's had parts of her brain, her hand, her foot, audio, you know, all this stuff done to her. She was adopted at age 11 from Europe. She was brought over by, like, her stepfather, who is now deceased.
She was Ned's, she was Jon Snowed, as we call it in the community.
You'll have to explain that, because I'm not part of the community.
I'll get to there when we start talking about theories.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. And she, you know, she's, like, a little bit rough around the edges. Has a take no shit kind of attitude to her, just because she deals with a lot of shit at home all mm-hmm. the time. Which I'm just like, you know what?
Same.
I feel that, you know? you do you, girl. You know, live your mechanic life and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So she's, you know, she's pretty cool. And then she has Eco, her sidekick android robot, who mm-hmm. is a very sentient robot, pretty emotional, feels very much like a teenage girl, honestly. Yes. Maybe even a little bit more so to me than Cinder, as far as just like
she feels like a little sister.
Yeah, like she gusses over Prince Kai too, you know,
which is like weird.
She's an android. We don't know. Yeah, we don't. Know.
But there are sex androids.
There are actually.
Yes,
Prince Kai makes a couple of jokes about.
He does. Like, I remember.
Like, yes. He was like, yeah. Or someone's like, can we do anything? You're mm-hmm. you're having a hard time. He's like, sure, I'll take an escort droid. And they're just like,
sir, you are a child.
Yeah, right.
Sir, please.
Yeah. So speaking of the prince, he's another main character.
I had no idea.
Prince, prince
who?
Kaito.
Prince.
Crown Prince of New Beijing. He, in my calculations, he is 18 and a half.
He's an adult. I'm going to do the Google.
Okay.
Because my math was very wrong.
Ah. Right. You know, so he comes across at first kind of, you know, like a prince, handsome, kind of well-mannered and responsible, but he's also kind of sassy and inexperienced.
Take a shot every time enchanting prince is enchanting. 18.
Yeah. So he meets Cinder because he has this android that he needs fixing.
I read a spoiler. FM chat for me. I'm shook.
Now I...
Sorry. I had to go to the wiki.
Anyways. So he has this android that he needs fixing. He claims it's for sentimental reasons, but by the end of part
wing,
two...
Wing, wing, nudge, nudge.
It's made clear that it's definitely... There's something more going on there with that. And then we have the stepmom, Audrey.
She sucks.
She
let's move it on.
Sucks. She treats Cinder as their income and likes to remind Cinder all the time that she owns her. And then there's Pearl, the older stepsister.
Who also sucks.
Who also sucks. She's kind of mean. She's just, you know... Yeah, the older stepsister. Peony is the younger stepsister. She's the nice one. Cinder's only human friend.
Obligatory scapegoat.
Yeah, she's cute, ditzy, obsessed with Prince Kai.
Oh, wow. Prince.
Yep.
And she gets the plague.
And she gets the plague, indeed. Then there's Queen Lavanna, the queen of the Lunars.
She bad.
She's the big scary lady. So the Lunars Still are people that evolved from, like, an Earth and Moon colony centuries ago, but they were no longer human. So, like, they're not human anymore. So the Lunars are also have this unnatural power
yes.
thing that's going on with them. A lot of it's, like, glamour, but we've been told it makes them, like, a very greedy and violent race of people. And Queen Lavanna is, like, the worst of the worst. And they do this, like, glamour thing where they kind of change their, like, they alter... It's not that they're altering their own appearance, it's that
they're altering their perception.
Yeah, so when you look at
freakier.
Them, it is freakier. And it can alter, like, kind of your moods and your feelings and stuff towards them. We see that the most present when, in the end, where Kai, all of a sudden, like,
Queen Lavanna... They can give you telepathic boners.
Yeah. He's like, you know, you recognize that, like, she's a beautiful person, but then all of a sudden he's just like, I would do anything for her. And then he's like, what the fuck? What was that?
What?
Snaps out of it like, So yeah, and the only other person I have on my list is Dr. Dimitri Erlin, who is the researcher. He's definitely just like, he's this guy who knows so much more than he's telling us.
So in his introduction, we see Cinder enter his experimental chambers. And it's introduced early on that Cinder has like this orange lie detector light.
Yes, she does.
That just blinks on and goes, yo, dude's lying. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even have to say anything. And it's just like, boop. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
So we sus. We sus.
Yeah. But he's the play researcher dude at the palace. And he has weird visions and he's just a little bit strange in general. He definitely knows more than he's letting on at this point.
So there's a part in the book where Cinder is, she's talking to the doctor guy and he makes a reference to her, obviously, because one isn't born a cyborg, which I feel like can be reasonably inferred, but also it's important to kind of
that's true
say. Basically, you have major surgery after trauma, and then you become a cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of interesting about that, too, because that kind of opens up the rabbit hole of you start with full rights, and then we decide that you're not a human anymore.
Yeah.
That whiplash has got to suck. And the implications of that are moderately horrifying. Especially since the government can just now draft you and you can be, like, owned. And that's, like, that's sketch.
Yep.
But anyway, I knew I liked her when he made a reference to that. And she was just like, no, the sex change. Yep. And I was just like, ha. Get him.
He's like, when did you have your operation? Like, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The operation goes the cyborg? No. The sex change.
Yeah.
Shook.
Yeah, and he was just like, huh? For a second, he's like,
goddamn teenagers.
Yes, girl. I knew you would like that part. I laughed at that part, too, and I was just like, oh, yeah.
She's got bite.
Oh, she does, yeah.
So I know that you can neither confirm nor deny anything that I have to say about this book. But also, I think Kai is hiding something from us.
I can't remember anything specifically, but it's possible, I guess.
Well, so when his father's on his deathbed, I made a note. I was like, what did he do? I feel like he alluded to something that he had done, and like part of not being ready in addition to just being young. But like, he had done something. So I'm like, is that a thing?
Oh. I don't know. I mean, I didn't pick out that part specifically, I don't think, either.
Sort of. I remember it. Well, I mean, one of the other things we've noticed about this book, are you on the second read, is that it foreshadows with the subtlety of a jackhammer.
Oh, that's true, yeah. There's a lot of foreshadowing and none of it is
subtle. It's not foreshadowing as much as like four blinker like spotlighting.
It's the orange lie detector in the corner of Cinder's mm-hmm. eye all the time. Ah, yes.
Ah, yes, this thing happened 11 years ago. So did this thing. Hmm? Suspicious?
Imagine
I don't
that.
Know.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm like, and I think after figuring that out, because I think I was on like page 28, where I was like, Cinder is Princess Celine.
the foreshadowing about that specific detail is absolutely not subtle at all.
Exactly.
In my first read, too, I think I somehow looked past it. I have no idea how, though, is my thing. Mm-hmm. Rereading it, I was just like, how in the world?
Mm-hmm. Did I not?
Did I not just be like, oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's funny, because foreshadowing is one of the hardest things to do as a writer, at least in
it
my
really
opinion.
Is.
Because you're trying to, because you want the readers who are reading between the lines to figure it out, but you don't want everybody to figure it out. It's a very, very thin line to dance. It's definitely like, hey, look over here!
Yeah. As much as I love this book, that is one of the things, going back and reading it again, I'm just like, oh.
I'm like, hi, yes, all of the plot points, I see them. It's important to note, too, that she feels, she's got, like, that one sensor in her vertebrae that, like, makes her feel fire. And then she has nightmares about fire.
That's true.
And Princess Celine died in a fire. And they found baby flesh, and she's missing a leg. And everything comes forth.
It do.
And
Well, and now we know, like, we did confirm in the book that she is lunar. Like, you know, she's from the moon.
Exactly. And Garen, who is...
stepfather.
Yeah, the stepfather definitely pulled a Ned Stark. And that... So in Game of Thrones, for the uninitiated, i.e. Ginny, Ned Stark, we sort of at the end... Ned Stark is painted to be this very, very honorable man.
Mm-hmm.
Never cheated, never did something, the other thing. And then he comes home one day with a bastard son, Jon Snow. 8 seasons later, and TBD books later, because technically that still doesn't come out in the books, we find out that Jon Snow is not, in fact, his bastard son, but is instead his sister, or the son of his sister and the king.
Oh.
So he's big special. That he just took upon himself to say, ah, yes, this is my bastard son, and we raise him now. Ah. Nothing sus here. So, yeah, Garen did the same thing. Ah, yes, I picked up this orphan cyborg. Nothing special. Nothing right. strange.
But I think we, at least from what we're reading, it seems safe to assume that the stepmother and stepsisters do not know that.
Right. Absolutely not. Which even Catelyn Stark... who is Ned's wife in Game of Thrones, didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
And she also looked very unfavorably upon Jon Snow and was like, you're not my child.
Yeah.
So there are parallels.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, yes. Oh, yes. And also, oh, my God. So I like Prince Kai. I think I do. I think he's aight. But also, take a shot every time Enchanting Boy is enchanting. Oh my gosh, he actually is beautiful. Not like the posters. Oh, what's this in my heart? I feel the things. I'm just like, oh my God. It made me a little jaded from where I'm at in my current life, but I was just like, I mean, take a shot every time.
Unfortunately, and I experienced this before we did Chain of Gold, I had to catch up on Clockwork,
the
Infernal Devices, and I felt that way reading Infernal Devices about Will. I'm just like, oh wow.
Everything he does.
Oh, his eyes, his hair, oh, his attitude. It's so brooding and mysterious. Oh,
and it holds a lot. The hair, the bod.
Exactly.
When you're looking at a hair and nail.
So just these things, to me, and they feel very
white. It's very white.
It's kind of where it's at.
It is.
And so.
So we love it.
Yeah, we love it. But as being like, older young adults.
My follow-up at, like, note young, is young boys suck, but so do girls, so like fuck cyborgs, I guess. So which mean escort droids can make it happen.
Yep.
And another observation about Prince Kai, like, for someone who's trying so hard to be humble and gracious, we're throwing around the prince card so much.
He does. He's so, like...
Cinder's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, I'm the prince. Not that I'm the prince, but I'm the prince. I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah. He's a cheeky little shit sometimes, man. Like,
smack him.
Yeah.
I feel like in an alternate universe, he's a Herondale.
Oh.
And therefore I am.
I feel that.
Because I have the Herondale emotions. Any fan of Cassie Clare's writing knows what I'm talking about. I have the Herondale reflex towards this boy.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're a shit, but I love you. Make it stop.
It's true. I like him. And the thing about, like, Cinderella, like the classic fairy tales, we don't see anything about the prince. Like, we don't know anything about him.
He's so got a foot fetish. Yeah. You're just like...
So it's nice to have, like...
Wait, so if this is Cinderella retelling, is Cinder going to drop her whole ass foot?
She very well might. I mean, she's a cyborg, and she was seen fixing her foot in Chapter 1, and we know about the subtlety here.
She's going to drop her whole ass foot.
She very well might.
And this raging Prince Skywalker walking around with this leg on a pillow. And not even imagining if it's like is it from the knee down or is it from the hip down? Because at one point he's like throwing it over his shoulder, like, does this leg belong to you? Will you lift your skirt so I can count your legs?
I thought it was only her foot, though.
Like, is it only her foot?
I didn't think it was her whole ass leg. But I mean, that's a great picture.
So I guess I'm thinking about the cover art.
Yeah.
Where it's very clearly not just the foot, and it's at least the foot and the calf in the cover art.
That's true.
So I'm just like, is it the calf or is it the leg? How much are we taking about? And also, like, just your foot is really weird to be missing. Just saying.
I mean, if you think about the foot, like the joints and stuff, there are joints right there. Think about the foot. I love it. Okay, readers, take a minute. Everyone look down at your own feet. You see how there's joints and there's a bone?
Welcome
a
to socket? Foot fetishish.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, there are joints and there's a socket like there. So like it does make sense.
There is, but also, I feel like if I was missing a foot, I wouldn't need like a whole ass cybernetic foot. I feel like I could get like a piece of wood and just kind of like stick it there and have it do mostly the same job.
Are you sure?
I mean, it wouldn't be great. Probably couldn't drive very effectively.
Could you walk well with that? Could you? Yeah.
I mean, no, but do I walk well anyway? Kind of, that's the question we're dealing with. I feel like if you're experiencing any kind of trauma, the reaction is not just take off just the foot. I feel like...
I mean, so, I guess what? The princess, if we are going with this theory of, you know, she's the lost princess or whatever, did she lose her whole leg, right, or something? So it's possible she lost a leg. Yeah, I'm not sure how much. I can't remember off the top of my head how much exactly she's missing. But either way, great picture of just throwing a leg over your shoulder. Or okay, just carrying a foot on a pillow.
Yeah, well, so if we're chopping off the foot, then I'm left up with like a nubbin.
Yes.
It's like just. So I have basically a leg, but without the up down action. And. I'm like an inch shorter on that side. Would I effectively need a cyber foot? I'm not sure. I guess my thing is I'm not sure that the foot itself
needs to be high tech.
Exactly.
I understand that, but this is a sci-fi universe. I don't think we just replace things with wooden tag legs.
Why not, though? She talks about how her mother should have had, or her mother, quote unquote, should have gone through different sizes, but she didn't. So, like, I feel like at that point I would just... like stuff a shoe.
So
like what you try to do when you go to the roller coaster, just put a bunch of tissue in the shoe to make yourself a little taller. Like, so I've got to imagine for my poor old brain that it's like at least the calf and the foot.
Sure. I mean, we can go with that, like, for sure. I just, you know, I cannot confirm or deny how much of her leg is missing.
Please, Marissa Meyer, I have questions. Put it on the list, ask Bethany next week. How much of the foot is missed? It was at that moment Ginny decided she was done with Ellie shit.
What's the next thing on your list?
So the next thing on my list is Cinder gets very irritated after Kai asks her to the ball because she's the most convenient. And I don't know why being a convenient girl is a bad thing. Because, like, there's probably free food at the ball.
Yeah.
And, like, he's probably at least moderately attractive arm candy. Like, I don't understand why she's getting all uppity and offended by being convenient. I'd be like, all right, I'll go to the ball with some prints. I don't care.
Yeah.
So they're scratching my butt by the hors d'oeuvre table and just shove my face full of snacks. Like,
yeah, I mean, that part I could understand not making sense. I mean, the thing is, she ultimately kind of says it's escape night. Is a thing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
She's like, well, I'm not. She's not gonna go because she's gonna use that while her family's away to escape.
It's gonna be the food.
But like, the real yoga health struggle is there free food.
Exactly. That's how you get people to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, we both went to university.
We know.
We know.
Are there T-shirts? Is there food?
Okay, we'll be there.
So many fucking free college shirts.
Yeah. Like, the amount of people I've seen staying in line, like, over a free cookie. Like, you know, it's insane.
That's how I get people to do things.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
And then, I don't think that I have much theorizing, because it's all there.
Yeah.
It's all more or less confirmed. I'm not saying I'm not having a good time. I'm having a great time. I'm enjoying it so far.
That's good.
It's nice to have, like, a good, lighter read.
Yeah.
Getting back into it. Especially now with a lot of Cassie Clare's books being so dense now. It's like a 700-page marathon.
They are. Well, and Marissa Meyer has written some dense ones.
I'm sure.
On my shelf, Renegades is sitting there. I think that's about a 700-800-pager.
Mm-hmm. which are great and I love it, but just getting back into the thing.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little short one. Yeah. So
I agree with that.
I mentioned this great philosophical question that I had.
Okay.
Over dinner.
Yes.
And I told you I would not share. But so you mentioned how Torin, the assistant to Kai, said that it would get more difficult, right?
Yeah.
To resist the queen's charm and all of her stuff. He did not say that it would get more difficult. He, quote, said, "It will get much harder, Prince Kai." And I have but one simple question.
Oh, no.
What will get harder, Torin?
I know.
I must know.
As soon as you said it, great. Here we go. Allie strikes again with the dick jokes.
But do chicks regenerate in House of Earth? Yes, they do. That's confirmed. I forgot about that lovely little tidbit of information.
Yeah.
It's been too long since I've bragged on that book. Regenerating dicks.
I have nothing to say about that. Here I thought we were going to talk about, you know, and I should have known, but when you're like, because like you do actually have like very high level theoretical questions too sometimes, so I was just like,
it's probably 50-50,
it is, right, it is though, so it's a 50-50 chance of, it could be something either very intensely theoretical and existential or something, or it could be dick regeneration.
So okay, so if you want to get like actual existential, let's revisit that point of at what point does one stop being a human and become a cyborg?
Yeah.
Like if I'm old and I bust my hip and I get a fake hip, am I then a cyborg? Am I then a second class citizen? At what age do I have to be regenerated as machine before that completely different place in society is jarring? Like Cinder is only 33, in the 30%
percentage range. And people look down on her. Like,
exactly.
In the market, the people don't want their kids to go play over near her. And...
Exactly. And it's implied that very much she's able to hide what she is fairly effectively.
She wears a glove over the robot hand. Yeah, the metal hand. She has a freak out moment when Kai like reaches for it and she's like, oh, no,
human, be human, be human.
Come on.
But Kai is a good boy, DM. It's not
a good boy.
Good boy.
Yeah. There's definitely just like a lot of really big questions, honestly, going on here that I think are handled in a very like a YA way, which is nice. It's not like, because yeah, that whole like, at what point are we human and not human is very
existential.
And things like, you know, we talked about how the shells in the Lunar Society are just like killed off.
They're just straight up murdered.
Intensely dark. And so the ones who like, you know, like Cinder, like the ones who escaped, you know, they get on this like pod to Earth and then.
And they're subhuman.
Yeah. And they're also, so you know, they're immigrants.
And they need to, like, they need to find these ID chips. And
so that's, oh yeah, the ID chips that keep getting taken out of the people, you know, like get sold on black market and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people just take new identities. And there's definitely, very grisly stuff that's honestly going on that doesn't, you know.
That happens off screen in a very YA way, but it's like.
Uh-huh.
Because Hunger Games is the same thing. Like, we're forgetting the fact that we're murdering people.
The whole premise is that we're sending...
children.
our kids off to be murdered for entertainment purposes.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, that's the interesting thing about, YA to be is just, like, we do cover... There are some very grisly...
Which YA topics. Universe would be the worst to live in and why? Send your essays, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Right now, I'll vote Hunger Games, but there's some bad ones.
There's some really, really sketchy. Like, Divergent isn't great either.
No, it's not great. Especially depending on where you end up.
Exactly.
In your factions. There's,
there's some really questionable way.
I mean, you know, if you're a demigod, you get chased by monsters all the time. As long,
which kind of sucks.
If you're not in Camp Half-Blood, and you probably won't make it to
they say it,
whatever.
Right, in the first book. Recently, I got the chance to reread the first book because I was tutoring a kiddo who didn't like to read. And I was like, I've got the perfect book.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, yeah, he's all over it. But it's like, very many of us don't live past age, whatever. And I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, this shit's dark.
It is. But it's interesting for sure.
Exactly. I think it's so funny how we're able to, like, tell stories that say so much about the world, but in a very YA-friendly package.
Right. I agree with that. And I'm sure that, again, I don't remember a lot about the series, unfortunately, at this point, but I'm sure that some of these things are going to develop a little bit more as we go on. We meet new characters and stuff, which, you know, I don't think, well, we're not planning to cover the whole series on this podcast.
No, I don't think that, very rarely will we cover an entire series.
Yeah, I don't think so either. This is just, you know, the first book introduction to it, but the other books, I think, also get a little bit increasingly longer as you go on. Not much longer, but as you go along, there's I think this is the shortest of the four. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember specifically, like, 3.5 is Lavanna's story.
Oh, okay.
And it's in my memory is incredibly intense and very kind of unsettling and stuff like that.
I feel like one of the cool things about being in the YA sphere is that you have the ability, it's a genre that very much hasn't existed very long. Like, we've written books for children, and we've written books for adults, and we haven't spent a long time, like, focusing on these middle years and the YA sort of genre. I have receipts somewhere where I read about, like, when it sort of developed and why, blah, blah, blah. But as YA writers, there's this opportunity to grow with your audience, too.
That's true. Yeah.
So if you write the first book at X level, and it's sort of related to the fact that millennials... So there's this trend where corporations are having to do shit they've never had to do before, right?
Right.
Because millennials don't want adult pajamas. We want onesies in our size. We want toys. We want fidgets.
Bring
we want
the dinosaurs.
Exactly. We want dinosaur home decor. Make dinosaurs millennials.
Unicorns.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's this crisis that companies are going through because we're just choosing not to grow up. Yeah. We decided that we don't need to, so we're just kind of doing what we want to do.
We decided that the world and capitalism is a sham.
Exactly, it is. So,
there's no reason that we can't like this stuff.
Exactly.
Even just because we're older.
Like, exactly, and we've sort of collectively come to this.
All the damn time.
Right. One of the things I love about working with the smallish humans at my day job is, like, I get to have these conversations about my third favorite dinosaur, and, like, those are awesome questions. I'm amazing. Just like, thank you. Thank you for asking me that. And so we've just collectively decided that this whole adulting thing is bullshit and fuck it, and we want to wear onesies. And sort of YA is benefiting from that too. We don't have to go and read some stuffy novels if we don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, there are things to be garnered from the classics, of course. But we're also very much holding on to these things that we hold near and dear. Mm-hmm. And being a part of Tumblr, being a part of fandoms, I'm seeing a lot of these fandoms age with me.
Yeah.
And I feel like Percy Jackson was the first one where I had that realization, because Rick Riordan wrote it for so long.
Yes.
And I picked up the first Percy Jackson.
Yeah, Percy ages. He's 18 by the end of...
Which is something that we don't see in a lot of media. So I think that YA is very much has staying power because we get to see these characters age with us.
Yeah, I agree.
In ways that we don't. Like, Ash Ketchum is still 12. He's been 12 since 96. So it's
really cool.
It is.
To experience. And one of the things I think I might have talked about in my top five, but in general, like, I personally really like... honestly, middle grade might be more of my genre than YA, just because there's just, like, that sense of adventure and wonder still.
Right.
And when you get into, like, the more adult you get, your brain starts to take over and gets very, like, sometimes you can get so wrapped up in your brain of, like, the technicalities and the things like that. And like, even this series, I'm looking at Cinder sometimes, I'm just like, there's, like, a lot of world here that we really don't see, to be honest. We kind of just gloss over.
When are you no longer human?
We just kind of gloss over, like, the details of... We don't see a lot about what New Beijing looks like. We don't see a lot of what things look like, what the society and the structure looks like. But I think that with YA, you can do that and still get, you know, you can still just
because
tell the story.
Because YA is fundamentally about
the characters. Yeah.
Which is something that I've come to learn is, like, that's the fiction that I enjoy. I want to live in the perpetual beach episode.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So that. It's... And I kind of had
a middle, I think, but...
And I had a mini epiphany about that, too. Like, because the less that I know, the more that I know about the characters and the less I know about the world, the more I'm able to create.
Yeah.
And the more my brain is able to play.
Yeah.
And the and I'm a very cerebral, imaginative person. shocker. So I like to take these questions, like, the one that threw Jenny for a loop was, what does a Macy's look like in the Crescent City? And that was when we talked about House of Earth and Blood. Because it's, and it just allows these opportunities for our brains to continue to think and to ask questions and to dig into these questions where there's no answer.
Mm-hmm.
And just live in this world of speculation. And it's, you know, there's something to be said for that kind of fiction that gives you the opportunity to think and to, but in that creative way, not mm-hmm. think in a very structured way, but to think in the world of what ifs.
Yeah.
Because adult fiction, because we are adults and we are concerned with how the world operates, it's going to tell me how the world operates.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young adult reader, in most cases, I'm not concerned about how the world operates because I'm not going to have that forethought. But I now, as an adult, going back and rereading it, I can consider these things, and it's a new experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But still just as intriguing as the first time, if not in a different way.
I agree with that. I think that's a good way to kind of sum up what we're dealing with at the moment. So I guess we're going to read
the rest
of the book.
Yeah.
We're actually going to try to get that part out pretty quickly, and we're going to have a special guest next time on the next episode. Yeah.
So hello in advance to the Prince Kai fan pod.
Yeah. We're going to be talking to Bethany, who runs Prince Kai fan pod.
Who is just a lovely person all over.
Yeah, she's lovely. Prince Kai fan pod has been running for actually just over 2 years now.
Okay.
Ow. I know. And so she covers the Lunar Chronicles and
chapter
all of
by chapter.
Meyer books. Yeah, chapter by chapter. So she's actually completed all of Cinder, and they're on Lavanna's story actually at the moment. So they're
is that
on
Crest?
3.5. It's
no,
it's just called. Is it called Lavanna's story? But it's after
that's
Crest and before Winter, is where it is in it.
Okay,
so it's like 3.5 technically is the number of it. So we'll talk to her about Cinder.
Yeah, and she'll obviously have all of the opinions and all of the knowledge that we don't have, and maybe she'll know how much of Cinder's foot is missing.
That's true. Also, fun fact: the author Marissa Meyer runs a podcast too.
Yeah, she does.
Writer podcast. So go give that a listen too.
Absolutely. And so thank you for sticking around and supporting our little weird corner of the internet. And hope that you're living life. We're excited to be back.
We hope
that you're excited to be here and that you stick around for a little while. And we'll catch you next week with part two of Cinder.
Yeah, we'll see you in the next adventure then, yeah?
See you in the next chapter.
Hey there, readers. As the plot thickens, we want you to be part of our story. Tell us your thoughts and theories, or ask us your questions. Have a book recommendation? Send us an email at yahdpc@gmail.com. Our Goodreads list will also be up to date with what we're reading, along with our own reading recommendations for you. You can follow us on social media for more bookish content and a glimpse of what's going on behind the scenes at yahdpc on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. See you in the next chapter!